I want you to turn to Acts chapter 13. I said tonight, or this morning, that I was going to preach tonight on the subject, I want to be a missionary. I don't know if there's anyone here tonight and that's how you feel. I have a conviction in my heart that there is. There are those here tonight, and that's exactly how you feel. I would love to be a missionary. Well, that's a good thing to have that thought in your mind and heart, because missionary work begins with a burden. You need a burden in your heart to do missionary work. And then, of course, there's the opportunity that God opens the door for you to do that work. And there's the ability that is so necessary. God will give you the ability as far as what he calls you to do is concerned. I'm going to read just a few short verses from three passages of Scripture that tell us about one of the missionaries in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul. First of all, here in Acts chapter 13, and there's no doubt that Paul had a burden. He speaks about the burden that he had in his heart. My heart's desire, my prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Paul had a burden for his people. He had a burden for the Gentiles to whom he ministered unto in the main. And here in Acts chapter 13, he is set apart to be a missionary. Verse 2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Now, having spent some time on the mission field, going from place to place, having many, many different experiences, Paul speaks about these experiences and much of the suffering that he had to endure as a missionary. Chapter 11, verse 23. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day. I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. And one final passage of Scripture in Philippians chapter 3. And just 3 verses that I want to read, verse 7 through to verse 9. This is Paul's testimony. This is how he lived as a child of God, as a missionary. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. May God bless the reading of his word. As far as I remember, this is the first time I have had the opportunity to speak at the missionary weekend. This is my 15th missionary weekend with you. Coming just over 14 years ago to Ballymoney, And then coming into that January now, to this January 15 missionary weekends, and I have been blessed every single time when we felt the nearness of the Lord and the challenge of His Word and the burden, of course, for missionary work. I want to be a missionary. Isn't that how we feel as the Lord's people oftentimes? We hear the reports of our missionaries, we see the DVD presentations of their work, we learn about their exploits and their experiences, we rejoice in what God has done and what God is doing in and through them. How blessed we have been and how challenged we have been many, many times. I've been blessed this weekend, and I'm sure you have as well. I've sat in the meetings and how my heart has been thrilled listening to the reports, watching the DVDs. I sat this morning, this afternoon, and I listened to our brother Dr. Bill Woods preach, and my heart was just pounding within me. Oh, how the Lord was near and working in our hearts and speaking to our souls. This mission weekend has been a highlight for the Ballymoney congregation since its inception. 43 years ago. Thank you, Dr. Cairns, and those responsible for beginning the missionary weekend all those years ago. And those weekends have been kept up year by year. It's one of the great blessings of being the minister here in Ballymoney this time of the year. I always look forward to January. I look forward to January because we have our minister's week of prayer. What a blessing that is. And then followed by our missionary weekend. And then we go into our congregational week of prayer. And what a start to the year that has been for us these years. I'm glad that our forefathers had the vision to commence this weekend and continue with it. We hear all these reports and we feel, at least I do, I would love to be a missionary. To trek the forests of the Amazon, to travel the bush of Kenya, to pioneer a work in Liberia. Isn't there something very romantic about the mission field? Something that's really exciting concerning what these men and women do. Something that's stimulating and inspiring about God's work abroad. However, the romance soon wears off when you've been there week after week, month after month, and year after year. You face the problems that our missionaries have to face, and the difficulties and the oppositions, and the weary tasks and the demanding needs that the foreign field presents. It's not all plain sailing. It's not all rosy as we imagine. It's not all glamorous and appealing as sometimes we dream it to be. Oh yes, it's rewarding for you're doing the work of God. It's very satisfying and fulfilling knowing that you're in the centre of God's will. And how blessed it must be to be called by God to such a station in life. The missionaries, and I've often said this, are the gold dust of the free church. But there are many dangers, toils and snares. The way is often rough and fraught with disappointment. And our missionaries need special prayer. And I trust that as you've listened to them this weekend and you've seen the presentations that they've given, that you will take them upon your heart all the more and uplift them before the throne of grace in prayer. Bill Woods had to go this evening to another meeting, but he's been with us all weekend. And Bill Woods is a very good friend of mine. He's been our family missionary hero for many, many years, and yours too. I know that to be so. I had the privilege of visiting with Bill over 7 years ago, as others did. And what a blessing it was to visit the land of his calling, where he has labored for over 50 years. What a blessing to meet the ordinary people of Brazil, to visit their churches, to go into the leprosy hospitals, to visit the homes of his patients, to see the surgery firsthand. Yes, they led us into the operating theatre. We all got scrubbed up and gowned up, and in we went with camera, filmed the whole thing. Couldn't show it to the people because some just couldn't stomach it. But if you really want to see it, I'll get you a copy and you can see what our brother Bill Woods does and the surgeons that work with him. What a blessing to travel up the river and to climb some of those river banks that you saw in the DVD presentation and visit the leprosy patients that live out there. But especially What a blessing it was just to be with our brother Bill in the land of his calling and to spend those days with him. When honoured by the Brazilian Minister of Health, you remember he said on the presentation that we saw, "Dr. William, this tribute comes from the people of this state. We all love you." Isn't that true? I can say this tonight. Bill's not here, so he's not going to be embarrassed again. But don't we love our brother Bill Woods in the Lord? We esteem him highly for his work's sake. Missionary stories that excite the imagination and fire the soul. And we're so blessed to hear what they have to say. And we get burdened in our hearts. And we feel that we want to go. And I think that's a good feeling to have. And it can be used to foster support for the missionary work. But we all can't go. Some of us should go. And I trust that God will speak. And from this missionary weekend that he will put his hand upon individuals and call them to this work. But most of us are needed at home to work for God. Just where he has placed us. To be a witness for him. And to be a support to our missionaries as they go. We certainly can't go everywhere. We can't, physically that is, we can't go to Brazil and Kenya and Romania and into the south of Ireland, Spain and other parts of the world. And yet there is a sense, in a very true sense, that we can go to these places. All of us that are saved tonight. Because we can go there by our prayers and by the support that we give to our missionaries. We ought to feel the burden. We ought to sense the need. We ought to be touched in our hearts and in our pockets. We ought to pray, take these missionaries, Lord, and use them for thy glory. We ought to keep in touch with the missionaries, encourage them, write to them, email them in this modern day. We ought to do what we can. And there are those in this meeting that should go. Is God calling some person in this service tonight, during this weekend? Is he laying his hand upon some life and he's saying to you, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel"? Is he troubling your heart? Is he opening your eyes and your soul? Well, then you need to give serious consideration to this matter. I would love to be a missionary. Is that how you feel? The question I want to ask tonight, if that's how you do feel, is this. What kind of a missionary do you want to be? We read about many missionaries in the Bible, men who went forth preaching the word. Just as we draw this service and the whole weekend to a conclusion, I want to think about four missionaries that we read about in God's word. First of all, we have a man by the name of Noah, living away back in ancient history as far as the record is concerned. Noah, the dedicated missionary. If ever a man was dedicated to God's work, it was Noah. And this is what we read. This is what the New Testament tells us about Noah in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5. That God spared not the old world. That's the old world before the flood. But saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Noah is one of the most remarkable men that we read about in Bible history. Two men are singled out as men who walked with God. There's no doubt that we read about many godly saints, and they did walk with the Lord. But two men, only two men, in the whole history of the Bible are especially mentioned as men who walked with God. And Noah was one of these men. The other one was his great-grandson. And our great-grandfather, and you called him Enoch. Noah was a man that walked with God. He was a man, of course, that was saved. Saved by God's grace. This is what we read. You needn't turn to it, but in Genesis chapter 6 and verses 8 and 9, it says that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man. He was a justified man. He was a man that was saved by the grace of God. You can't be a missionary, you can't be a preacher until you come to know Christ as your Savior, until you have this saving, justifying experience with Almighty God. And he was a blameless man as far as his testimony was concerned. It tells us that he was not only a just man, but he was perfect in his generations. It didn't mean that he was sinless, but the life that he lived, this walk that he had with God before the old world, as they watched the life of Noah, and they examined the way that Noah lived, as they examine every person who professes the name of the Lord, they saw that he had a blameless testimony. He was a man that was perfect in his generations. He was a man of faith. He gets special mention in the great chapter of faith, in Hebrews chapter 11, where we have chronicled for us the great heroes of Old Testament times, men and women who lived by faith. And Noah's name is there. He was a man of great faith. He was a man who feared God. The Bible tells us that he feared God. He was a man who was burdened for his family. Listen to what Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7 tells us. Tells us something here about the man that feared God and the man who was burdened for his family. Hebrews 11 verse 7. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. He had influence in his home, influence in his family, something that in many cases is missing today in many of our Christian homes. But Noah had influence in his family. This walk that he had with God, this righteous, holy man who walked in the fear of the Lord, he had great influence in his home, and he saw his family saved. It's not a wonderful thing to see your children brought to the Lord Jesus Christ, and the wives of his sons, they were converted too. But he was also a missionary to the old world, a preacher. The Bible calls him a preacher. This has ever been God's ordained method, reaching the lost, preaching his word. And his preaching ministry lasted for 120 years. How would you like to preach for 120 years? Some men are given a lengthy ministry, and they perhaps have preached for 40 years, 50 years maybe. Some have even preached for 60 years. That's a long time. But Noah preached for 120 years and was a faithful witness to the old world, warning them about the destruction that was going to come. He didn't have a very encouraging congregation either. When you read about that particular time in Genesis chapter 6, how the people lived, what they were like, the Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5 that God, as God looked down, God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him in his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. It was a wicked age. In fact, the Lord Jesus in the New Testament, he used the era of Noah's time as an example of how things will be when he returns to the earth again, as it was in the days of Noah, an age of wickedness, an age of violence, an age of departure. He says that's what it's going to be like before I come back again. And that age is upon us. Let's be certain about that tonight. Noah didn't have an encouraging congregation to preach to. The people of the old world mocked him. They despised his message. I would not like to be called to preach to a congregation like the congregation that Noah had. And my friends, he only saw his family saved. Just think about that. He preached for 120 years and only his family came to know God's salvation. If God called you to be a missionary, if he assigned a particular place for you to minister unto, if he gave you thousands of people to preach to, and at the end of the day, after all your labours, your faithful labours, your earnest entreaties, your fervent prayers, you saw nobody saved but your family, how would you feel? I wonder, would you give up after 10 years? You preached for 10 years. Nobody was saved outside your family. Would you continue? Or maybe you would continue for 20 years or 30 years. Would you give up at the end of that 30-year period? Would you keep at the work? Would you be faithful? Would you be as earnest? Would you obey the Lord? Well, I want to tell you, Noah did. For 120 years. That's the length of time that he preached for. And he only saw his family saved. Of course, it must be said that this would be worth all the effort. It would be worth all the toil, all the hard labor, all the tears and the prayers. If at the end of the day, after all your ministry, you saw your family saved, it would be worth it all. Don't get me wrong. But he's Sunday preacher to the thousands. He preached to the world, but his family were lost. His boys died out of Christ. Billy Sunday said if he had to do it all over again, he would have spent more time trying to save his family than saving the world. Oh, to see our family saved. Now, God might call you to a hard work. Few might listen to what you have to say. The majority might mock you, scorn you, laugh at you. But if only 8 people were saved, especially if those 8 people were your family members, wouldn't it be worth it all? Not everyone is called to be a Peter. Peter saw the thousands saved. Not everyone is called to be a Paul. And he saw hundreds, thousands of people saved, churches planted. Not everyone is to be a Spurgeon or a Carey. Some people are called to be a Noah, this kind of a missionary. And therefore you need determination. You need dedication. Noah was the dedicated missionary. But then we go on in the Old Testament history to read about another missionary. And his name was Jonah. Jonah was the disobedient missionary. Turn to Jonah chapter 1. Jonah was another Old Testament missionary. He was a man who was called of God. There was certainty about that call. There was no doubt whatsoever. God had put his hand upon this man. He called him. The opening verse of the prophecy tells us that the word of the Lord came unto Jonah. So God's word came to him. The Bible tells us about that. No doubt whatsoever about it. And that's a very special thing in a person's life. When the word of God comes, when you've got a conviction in your heart that God is speaking to you, that God has had a word for you, that he's placed a word in your heart, the word of the Lord has come to you with power, and you know that God is speaking, that's a special thing. And this man, Jonah, he was called to a special task. For verse 2, as the word of God comes to him, God tells him, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me." And this, too, is a wonderful privilege. Not only that God speaks, and God still speaks today to his people, but when you have that certainty in your heart that this is what God is saying, and this is what God is asking you to do, and here's the very place that the Lord is bringing you to, this is where I want you to work. You know, every young person that goes to Bible college, they may not know exactly where they're going to be when they enter Bible college. And maybe for those years in their life, they pray about the matter. They seek the Lord earnestly about it, for God to lead them and direct them and to show them God's will. This is where I want you to be. Should it be Kenya or Liberia or Spain or Romania, wherever it might be. What a wonderful thing it is when that matter is settled in your heart. This is what God wants me to be. Here's the people that God wants me to minister unto. And when you've got that conviction in your heart and God has directed your steps, it brings a wonderful peace. However, in Jonah's life there was a but. And we read about it in verse 3. It says, but. Word of God comes. God speaks clearly, this is where I want you to go, here's the message that I want you to preach, I want you to cry against this city because of their wickedness. Verse 3 says, but Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. You see, there was a prejudice in his heart. He didn't want to go to the city of Nineveh. These foreigners, these Gentile people, there was a prejudice against them. There was a reluctance to do what God was calling him to do. That there was more than hesitation. There was outright disobedience. He said no to God. God says, I want you to go. Here's where I want you to go. I want you to go to Nineveh. And here's the message that I want you to bring. But the Bible tells us he rose up to flee. And he ran away from God. He ran away from the call of God in his life. I wonder, is there someone in this meeting, and you're running away from God? Yes, at this very weekend, this missionary weekend, this conference that we have had, Friday night, Saturday night, and now today in the Lord's Day, you're running away from God. God called you in the past. There were other missionary meetings that you sat in. There were other missionaries that you listened to. And God was burdening your heart. And God was opening your life to missionary work. And you felt, yes, I should go. But you've been running. You've been running since that day. And you're still running this very weekend. You're like Jonah. Well, God in mercy. And let me say it was a mercy. He sent a storm. When he got onto that boat and went out to sea, God sent a storm after Jonah to bring him back into the way again. And the Lord's word came to him afresh as we go on to read in the book in chapter 3 and verse 1. Then the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. It's a good thing that God speaks again. Even in the midst of our disobedience, in the midst of our running away from his will, when we are convicted in our heart, this is what God wants me to do. This is what God wants me to do. This is the message that he wants me to preach, and we run away from it. Isn't it a wonderful mercy that God speaks again? And he gives his people a second chance and even a third chance in many cases. And there was a blessed outcome. Because you see, he obeyed the Lord. It tells us in verse 3 that Jonah arose and he went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. He obeys God. And look at the blessed outcome that is given to his ministry. Verse 5, it says, so the people, this is after Jonah preaches the message that God has given him, so the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. And down to verse 10, and God saw their works, that they had turned from their evil way. And God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. How we long for this. Every preacher, every missionary longs in his heart for what happens here. Going out to preach the word. And God blesses that word, and there's a turning unto him. There's repentance. And people turn from their sin unto God. That's what happened here in the ministry of Jonah. However, Jonah had a bad attitude. Oh, how bad an attitude this was, as we read it there in verse 1 of chapter 4. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. Isn't that awful? You don't want to be that kind of a missionary. I told you about the prejudice that he had in his heart. You know, he wanted the judgment of God to come upon these people. Isn't that how some Christians are today? They think of certain people, certain classes of people, certain religious groups of people, certain people that they dislike. And, you know, they don't want to see them saved. They want the judgment of God to fall upon them. Well, I want to tell you, you don't want to be like the disobedient prophet who went on to be the prophet with a bad attitude, or the missionary with a bad attitude. In fact, there's nothing really in the life of Jonah that is commendable, except that he did obey God the second time. But when you think of his attitude the whole way through, running away from God, fleeing from the presence of God, and now unhappy that these people have turned from their wicked way unto God, that is disgraceful. You don't want to say no to God's will. You don't want to have this bad attitude of heart when people do get saved and right with God just because you didn't like them. You certainly don't want a storm raised in your life to bring you back into the way again. It all happened in the life of this disobedient prophet. Then over the New Testament we read about another missionary. And this time it's Paul. Paul, the distinguished ministry. Paul, along with Barnabas, is set aside in a very particular way by the Holy Spirit of God and by the church. And they're set aside for the work of missionary work here in Acts chapter 13. And as we read the life story of Paul, we learn how God used him. We learn of the many souls that came to saving faith in Christ because of his ministry and missionary work. We see all those churches that were established and founded by this distinguished missionary of the word, the revivals that he experienced. There was never perhaps a greater missionary among the sons of men than Paul. And he speaks about the difficulties. And you think of the chapter that we read from in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. All the things that he suffered for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of serving Jesus Christ as a missionary. Oh, I tell you, we would have given up long before if we had to go through half of what Paul had to face. And yet he did it all for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ, whom he loved. He had a mandate. He was appointed by Christ. He had a message, and that was Christ and him crucified. And he had a mission, and that was the souls of men, to rescue the perishing and to care for the dying, to snatch them in pity from sin and the grave. How did he labor? He labored with the utmost zeal, fervency, and sacrifice. Even when he wasn't appreciated. And I was just thinking of a verse the other day that we have in Paul's writings in 2 Corinthians, and the chapter 12 and verse 15. Paul says, I will very gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. I wonder, have you ever felt like that as a Christian? Have you ever had those thoughts in your heart? Do you ever think to yourself, well, I'm just taken for granted. I spend and be spent for people that I'm trying to reach with the gospel. I labor abundantly for them. I love them abundantly. And the more I love them, the less I seem to be loved. You ever feel like that? And I say, do you do what Paul did? He labored on. He battled on faithfully for the Lord. May God give us a distinguishing career as his servants. For Paul was the missionary who was distinguished in the work that he did. And then lastly, I have one final thought, and that is Christ. The fourth missionary that I want to draw your attention to is Christ, the divine missionary. Someone has once said and put it very well, God had only one son and he made him a missionary. I think that's a beautiful statement. God sent his son into the world to be a missionary to the world, to preach to the world. Jesus was sent into this earth. He gave up more than you and I will ever have to give up. I don't know what sacrifice might be entailed for you to do God's work, to go into the ministry, to go onto the mission field. There are sacrifices to make. But I want to tell you, you'll never have to sacrifice as much as Jesus Christ had to sacrifice when he left the ivory palaces of glory and his Father's side to come into this world of woe. Jesus went further than you will ever be called upon to go. And Jesus suffered more than you will ever have to suffer. To be a missionary is to be like the Savior and to follow in his steps as a missionary is indeed to walk the way that the Savior walked. I wonder this evening, will you follow him into some part of the missionary work? Will you be like the Savior? Will you give your life to the Lord tonight and say, here am I. I want to be a missionary. I want to be a missionary. Of all the four that were mentioned tonight, Jonah perhaps is the only one you don't want to be like. Don't disobey the Lord. Don't run away from God. But be faithful like Noah. Be fervent in your missionary endeavor like the Apostle Paul. Oh, be like the blessed Savior in the work that he came to do. I trust from this missionary weekend God will put his hands upon your life and that many of you will be called into missionary service. But what about you tonight in this meeting who are not saved? You're here this evening and we thank you for coming. We're glad that you're sitting in this meeting tonight. We thank God for the interest that even finds you in this meeting house. But what about the Lord? What about the gospel? What about your soul, your immortal soul? What about eternity? Where will you be in eternity? Jesus talked about the publicans and sinners going into the kingdom of God before the religious people of his day. People with all the privileges that they had, and yet there were those who didn't have the religious privileges, that didn't have the gospel the way that the Jewish people had the gospel preached unto them. And yet they were going into God's kingdom before the religious people. They were being saved. And that's happening in the world today. We think of what has always been called communist China. And there are now something like 110 million converts to Christianity in that country. People that haven't had the gospel the way that you and I have had it all these years, and yet millions of them are being converted. We think of the land of Nepal, and it never tires us listening to what God has been doing in the land of Nepal. All these hundreds of people that are being converted every week, souls being saved. And yet here in Ulster, gospel preaching Ulster, with all its privilege, men are still holding back and refusing to embrace Christ as Redeemer. Oh, it's true, isn't it? Publicans and sinners are going into the kingdom before such people. Our land has departed. God has withdrawn himself. Not completely. I do not believe that he will leave this land without a witness. But it seems that tonight God is standing at a distance as far as our nation is concerned. But though at a distance, he's still mighty to save. He's still willing to save. He's still able to save. And my friend, he can save you tonight if you're not a Christian. You are on the mission field as far as this meeting is concerned. And you need to come to know the Savior. You need to flee from the wrath to come and repent of your sin, just like those of Nineveh did. And they turned from their wicked ways unto God. That's what you need to do. May God work in this meeting. May he call individuals into his work. And may he save others who do not know him and make them into Christians who walk with God in their day. May the Lord's hand be upon your life and mine, and may he take us up this year and use us for his glory.